Fellow auto detailers, welcome to the show that features interviews with today's most successful auto detailers. This is the Auto Detailing Podcast. Here's your host, Jimbo Balaam.
This week's episode is brought to you by Google AdWords for the modern auto detail business. Now, this is a course, and Google AdWords is something that I've been doing in my personal detailing business for quite some time now. And it's something that I've tweaked and condensed and studied, and I've worked the perfect model to make profitable Google ads. So Google ads can sometimes be, or paid advertising in general, can sometimes be a really scary thing to dive into. You're investing money, you're not sure what the outcome is going to be. But what I've done is developed a course outlining exactly how I run my personal Google ads, and I show you how you can do that too. So it leaves the guesswork out of it. You just are shown how to make profitable Google ads. So if you're interested in driving some serious traffic to your business, if you're looking at reaching new customers and you want to do it in kind of the modern approach to word of mouth marketing and taking advantage of the authority that Google offers and Google searching offers, because that's really what it comes down to, is taking advantage of the authority that Google offers you. And you could get the number one spot on the number one page for select keywords. If you're interested in this, and if you're interested in taking your business to the next level, head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com/Google. That's autodetailingpodcast.com/Google. Now back to the show. All right, welcome to episode 198 of the Auto Detailing Podcast. Today we have a return guest who is actually one of the first guests we ever talked to, and that is Matthew Gibb from Australia. If you want to listen to his previous episodes, you could just head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com, and in the search bar, just type in Matt or Matt Gibb or Matthew Gibb, and all his previous shows will pop up. So Matt, welcome back to the show.
Cheers, Jimbo. It's great to be back again.
Cool. So today we're going to be talking about lifespan of microfiber pads and pads in general, and how you've managed to get some pads to last 100 cars or even more. But before we get into that, do you just want to give people a quick brief background on you and where you're at and what you're up to?
Yeah, well, I started in the industry, and not in the industry, but as an enthusiast in 92 when I got my first car, and then basically just went ballistic from there, and basically started working in the industry with other detail shops, and then City Mazda, and then back to another shop, and then started my own in 05, and basically just been listening, learning from a lot of people, sharing knowledge with other people. The business is hard. It's a hard industry sometimes, you know, winter especially. But basically, yeah, at the forefront, got our own chemical facility, all that sort of stuff these days, making our own stuff. So, which is great. And yeah, just specializing in, my main focus and passion is obviously paint, but I do a lot of interior details too.
Yeah, and if people go back and listen to your past episodes, we really take a deep dive into kind of paint and paint correction and polishes and compounds and why some are better than the others, why not to use some of the mainstream stuff, what to look for in a lot of those products. So if people are really interested in the paint correction side of things and how to maximize kind of efficiency but yet results, I would definitely encourage them to go back and listen to some of those previous episodes that we've talked about. So, but let's get into kind of talking about the lifespan of pads, and kind of, why don't you take it away?
Okay, well, pads are one of my passions as well, as you know, and I know that they're a consumable item eventually, and eventually they wear out, yes. But I always try to make sure that I get the most out of them, because, you know, at the end of the day, some of them are not that expensive. Some of them are very expensive, depending on where you buy them from. I buy direct from the manufacturer mostly, or at least the people that buy foam from Europe, from people within inside Europe, and then they cut it to shape and all the rest of it. But starting off with microfiber, which, of course, is my default pad most of the time, what I do is I'm a compressed air freak, but what I do, I'm very careful with compressed air as far as cleaning as I'm doing a section, and then after each section before I change to another panel, another pad, is I don't hit the pad's edges with compressed air, because it can eventually make that sort of the glue sort of break up and things like that, and it can cause them to then lift. Sometimes eventually with the machines I have, which are the most advanced and most powerful in the industry, it actually does a pretty darn good job of not killing them, but it does chew through the Velcro backing eventually to the point where they don't stick at all anymore. That's probably the thing that shortens their life the most. But the main thing is for me is that I use 150 millimeter microfibers and 130 millimeter, and I'll be getting 170 shortly. Now, what happens eventually, and I'm not sure if it's totally preventable, but the edges eventually lift. So what I do is I go, well, I'll make this 150 millimeter pad a 130 millimeter pad and then use it for that. So I cut off the bad bit. So I've turned it from a 150 to a 130, and what I do is I get a 125 or 130 mil backing plate. And I use, I'm only using scissors, but I'm as I'm cutting, I'm turning, and then I'll get it pretty damn circular, pretty damn right. And then, of course, I'll run them until then that the edge on that wears out, and I'll make it into a 90 millimeter.
So you're essentially cutting down the size of the pad.
To the point where that damaged area where it's lifting, where the foam, foam interfaced and the actual microfiber on top of it is actually lifted away. So you cut that part away, and then the pad's golden again. And then when it comes to washing them, I do machine wash microfibers sometimes, but not very often. Mostly what I'm doing is I'm hitting it with a general cleanser or antibacterial or Miracle with the three cleaners that we use that are eco-friendly, and my high-pressure gun. And I'm just boom. And the thing is it's far. I'm using less water. I'm not sitting there wringing it all out by hand, because I don't reckon I can get it out as good, clean it as good by hand as I can with that. Now, pad washers apparently are bloody good, but I can't see. I haven't really wanted to spend $200 on a piece of plastic, so I'm like, no, I don't worry about that right now. But
it's good in a pinch, yeah.
They're good in a pinch, though, and they do a very good job. So I'll get to that eventually. But yeah, mainly just high pressure. Now, my high pressure machine's only 1,000 psi. It's 16 years old. It's still going. It's got a brass pump, so it just doesn't die. It's an old Karcher. So that pressure's not that bad, and I do it from close up. And that cleans them really quick. And then same with the foams. Like, the foams get too wet, or I don't sit there and hand wash them and have piles of water going through them, because foam and water don't mix very well.
Right.
So that's what I mainly do with the microfibers, and for some reason, the most I've gotten out of a set of pads was 140 cars.
My gosh.
Doing what we call a better buff, which is a superior version of a cut. It's not a cut and polish like the old days. It's DA and it's one step, but it's microfiber. And the pads, they do sometimes get a bit, the microfiber strands get a bit thinned out eventually sometimes with a bit of hard use, but man, when they get flatter, they're actually better in some ways.
So, and how much have you cut that pad down by the time you're ready to toss it?
It's down to a 50 millimeter pad.
Okay.
And then after that, it's like, well, I can put, you make it into a 25, but that's probably pushing it a bit much.
Okay.
And that's what I do, and I think it's good, because the only bad part about it is the outer edge, which is probably like half an inch in. So it's just cut that off, and you go then to a 150 if it's a 170 or 130, so it matches your backing plate. So you might have 5 mils of space bigger than the backing plate, so you don't have it smaller than the plate. I like having it the same size as the plate, like Kevin Brown does sometimes, but I'm only doing that on big open areas, not contoured and sharp edges and stuff like that.
Does having a pad that's bigger than your backing plate really affect the lifespan of the pad, though?
I don't know about life. I mean, if you have say a 6-inch going American Imperial 6-inch plate with a 7-inch or a 7.5-inch pad, the problem is there's probably an inch of it that's basically just flailing along with no support, And what can happen is it can turn, and when you're buffing, it's not being supported fully by the plate.
Got it.
And what happens is eventually that can cause it to wear to some degree. It's just not as good. I mean, if you've got a six inch plate with a 6.5 inch pad, that's probably ideal, or 6.25 inch. Have it the same size, or have it, you know, half a quarter an inch bigger, but no more than probably half an inch bigger. You go too big, it's like having a 6 inch plate with an 8 inch pad. That's just stupid.
Right.
You know, that's just nuts. It's just not good. It's not good. And like I said, amazingly, I get a lot of cars out of them by doing that. But it's not just doing that. For some reason, I just don't seem to kill them. There's people that, maybe it's because I clean them all the time during doing each section. Sometimes doing it just after each section, then that panel's finished, then I'll go to another pad. I don't have four pads and use them on 13, 14 panels of a car. I use 13 pads.
Okay.
It's faster, more efficient, because you just prime the pad, bang, you're doing a section, say it's a whole panel, say a whole front fender, bang, that's done, next pad. Because, and the other good thing about it is then, with using 13 or 14 pads, you've not got this thing of residual build-up in the pad, which kills performance and scale as paint.
So you'll use 13... Say, just, we'll call it, maybe it's not exactly, but we'll just call it 13. You'll use 13 pads, 13 different pads for one car, and that allows you to work panel by panel and only using one pad per panel, and you may, blow it out with air real quick, even after you're done with that panel, but still switch the pad, and then once you're done with the whole car, you'll go through and wash all those pads.
So I'll go through and spray them with the General or the Miracle or Anti-Bet, depending on how bad they are, high pressure them. Give them a rinse and a spin dry on the machine real quick, or just a spin dry, depending on where I've cleaned them. Sometimes I have to clean them on a concrete floor, and of course they get a bit dust on, so I've got to re-rinse them and all the rest of it. But off they go again. I hang them upside down on the drying rack, and it's right there ready to go again. Boom, let's go. You know, and look, most of my ones I've got left now, they're pretty ragged. You know, they've been cut two or three times. Down to a smaller size to match the backing plates for my little pneumatic 17mm orbit throw DA. It's amazing how long they last for me. And other people, they get four cars at them and they're delaminating. I know the Maguire's ones early on, they had some problems, but I don't think it's totally their fault. I think they've fixed them probably now. I don't use those ones, and they're probably a great pad anyway. Every microfiber works great. But, yeah, I get a lot of cars out of them that way.
So, Matt, we are I just opened up my Periscope app. And so I told you we would do this before the recording started. So, unfortunately, the people on Periscope right now can't hear you. But this will be kind of cool while we're recording a podcast episode that isn't going to come out until Monday. I think Monday, yeah. So, but for the people on Periscope, we are talking about pads, microfiber cutting pads, or not even microfiber cutting pads, just microfiber pads in general. So if you have a question about detailing your car with a microfiber pad and how to get over... 100 uses or 100 cars out of one pad. You can ask your questions on Periscope. What's up, Jimbo? It's Brandon B. What's up, Brandon? If you're listening to this in the podcast format and you want to follow me on Periscope, you can just go to autodetailingpodcast.com/Periscope. Sorry, Matt, for this taking so long to explain, but I think it'll be kind of fun.
Not a problem.
So if you're on Periscope right now, we got 15 people. Watching me but listening. So I guess how could I do this to where they could hear you too? Anyway, if we'll just do this. If you're on Periscope and you have a question about how to make your polishing pads last a long time, everyone keeps talking about my hair and it being sexy, so that's kind of weird. But if you have a question about polishing a pad, let me do this. I'll unplug. And then, hey Matt, can you keep talking?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm good, mate.
So the audio quality won't be as good for the podcast, but we'll just do this for a couple minutes. So you could keep talking about pads and whatever we were talking about, and people on Periscope can listen in and ask their questions about either detailing cars in general or how to make your pad last longer. So go ahead with what you were saying.
Okay, so we'll go into front pads basically now, and they're a whole different kettle of fish altogether. Now, the biggest thing with foam is that they don't like water. Foam and water don't mix very well. What water does to foam when you leave it in a bucket, do foam in a bucket of water on a foam sponge or a pad or anything, it basically breaks it down. It loses its density, so it absorbs more product. So it loses its density. So you get, say, an orange light coating pad, and it'll be stiff as a board when you first get it. Eventually, it'll become all soft and lose some of its cut, things like that. So I try to clean them with water, but with as little water as I can to make them last as long as possible. So that's why I high pressure them, because the high pressure, which is only 1,000 PSI for my unit, you're basically cleaning it for like 3 seconds, and it's basically done, instead of sitting there having water pouring into it and trying to wring it all out itself. And I've got 8-inch Lake Country Eurotech pads, which I think are way better than CCS's ever were. And some of those now are 10 to 13 years old, and they still look about 90% new. And I've done 100-something cars with a rotary with them, and they still look like I've barely even used them. And other people, they're ripped up, they're torn, they've hit them with screwdrivers or steel spurs, or God knows what, and they just don't last for them. I knew a crash repairer here that was killing a foam pad a day. And I'm like, how the heck are you doing that? So what I do is when I clean my foams, I don't let them sit in water long. I don't have them under the tap being soaked. And the other thing I don't do is I don't wring them out hard. Because what I've learned is, I used to do that all the time, and wring them with your... We're massaging it with your thumbs is fine, but sitting there like wringing it and turning it and stuff, what it does is, I've been speaking to one of the biggest manufacturers of foam, all sorts of foam, not just buffing foams, but all sorts of foam for all sorts of industries, and he said the one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to wring them out hard because you break the cells down.
Hey, real quick, so someone asked, don't wash your pads in the washing machine?
Yeah, you can do it with some, but some you shouldn't. Especially some of them that have a very weak Velcro backing. Some of them don't have a very good glue or very good Velcro. The Velcro might be fine, but the actual glue holding that there is not very good. And you can put it in there, and you can wash them sometimes, and it'll come out fine. And other times, you'll pull out your pad, and the Velcro is totally come unglued and sitting somewhere else.
Okay, so it's a Velcro issue.
With some of the softer ones, My favorite pad is a 120 quarter inch foam from Germany. I don't believe there's any foam anywhere in the world that's finer than that.
Where do you get those pads at?
Why would I use that?
Where do you get it from?
I get it from a special company in Melbourne.
Okay. Are they available to the general public?
They are pretty much, yeah. Pretty much they are. They're pretty special.
Do you want to give away your source or no?
Probably not. Not yet. Soon, hopefully one day.
All right. I'm going to cut off this Periscope thing because it's way too distracting.
So if you're on Periscope, you will get the rest of this episode on Monday. You can get it at autodetailingpodcast.com.
All right.
So sorry about that. I thought that wasn't going to be as hard as it was, but I was so distracted.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you don't, it's cool. You don't want to reveal your source. Is there a place, because I feel like, from our past conversations, I feel like you don't really use any pads that are on the general market or any, company that's mass producing these pads. I feel like you're probably not using those.
I don't mind Buff and Shine. I don't mind certain pads from Lake Country. Like I love the Hydrotech Crimson pad. I think that's a bloody good pad. I love European pre-polymer closed cell foam because it's stiff and it keeps the polish or the whatever product you're using on the surface and not very much of it in the pad. And the fact that, okay, they might create a bit more heat than an open cell usually, but they're actually, some people say, like Lake Country say, I think Lake Country or from China said that they reckon closed cell phones are weaker structurally, but I don't really believe, I'm not sure about that. I've had great success with both types. I like both types, but I like closed cell because it's not trying to dry the polish out. I don't want my pad to be prematurely drying my polish out by being an open cell. And also said, the German guy said that Stoddard solvent is oil-based, and when it heats up from you polishing the panel, and you heat up the panel, the oil soaks into the panel, and actually that's what causes some feeling.
Interesting. Wow.
So, with solvent-based, yes, you can spray water during and get it out of the pad and keep moving it around. So I agree with Kevin on that part. And you can do that with the Meguiar system because I believe it is Stoddard solvent, has Stoddard solvent in there. The M205, 105 anyway. It's not the worst stuff in the world, but it's not the best.
Mm-hmm.
But water-based, like ours, which is everything in there is so purified. The water is so purified it doesn't boil. You can't boil it.
Wow.
Water that goes in it.
This is the liquid element stuff you're talking about?
This is something else again. This is our own. 120 man hours of actually sitting there to get the suspension agents right so you never have to shake it. Every vat they make, they spend that much time. The stuff costs $30 a litre to make.
Is it available to the public or no?
No.
Okay.
So with water-based, yeah, you don't want to be going like, I've seen a guy on YouTube, you know, one of these big product manufacturers, and he's like, gets his machine, he roots out, and he puts his pad on, he's priming his pad, then he's spraying it with water or quick detail spray. I don't agree with that at all.
Mm.
You're basically changing the formula of the polish and you're putting it down. But anyway, we'll get back to pads anyway.
Yeah.
With foam, this guy from Dunlop Foams, who I've been talking to, about what they've got in their range I can use, something very unique, he was saying, don't ring out foam because you break the cells down and then they absorb more product. So don't be getting, say, your Lake Country Eurotech 8-inch pad or your Buff and Shine 8-inch pad and be massage it with your thumbs, yes, but don't then grab it and turn it in half and wring it right out like a chamois.
Okay.
Because that's gonna stuff them up.
I've done that before.
It breaks. Even I've done that years ago. And now I go, I can't. I'll just massage it if I'm high pressuring it. Massage it, spin dry, and then just let it hang and dry itself. I'm not going to wring it because it puts them out of shape eventually.
Right. Some of them. Yeah, it definitely does.
Does that? So.
Okay, I think we've covered it pretty well. Do you want to? Is there any last things that you want to kind of in closing talk about? Because we've covered it pretty good.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, like I said, microfibers, they're a great thing. I like wool pads still today. I know there's certain people that think they're obsolete, but there's a lot of ways you can use a wool pad is only as aggressive as you make it by what product you use.
Mm.
I actually use it with a product that I can actually deep clean paint without removing it with a wool pad.
And finish out with it too?
Yep. Okay. Oh, I don't do that. I go back to foam anyway.
Okay.
Or microfiber then foam. I'll never just wool it only. That's just not good enough.
What kind of RPM are you talking when you're finishing out with a rotary?
If I'm finishing out with a rotary, 200.
Wow. So you got to get a machine that can go down that low.
That's right, and that's why I've got the world's best one. It's 30%. The body is 30% fiberglass.
What is that machine?
That's the Fein. They don't make it anymore.
Ugh. How do you spell it? F-E-I-N?
F-E-I-N. It's the WPO-1415XE.
Say that again?
WPO-1415XE. And what it is, it's 200 to 1500 RPM. It's 1200 watts. I believe it only pulls out about 800 watts, though, but it's pretty ballsy. The good thing about it, amazingly, it's the only German manufacturer that actually sells you brushes for $10, not 50.
Right.
It'll run at 200 all day, it'll run at 350 after that, goes to 500, and then it goes 550, 650, 800, 900,
wow.
1000, and I can sit there at 350 all day long.
Wow.
And you go, a brazier polish couldn't possibly be allowed to run that low, you wouldn't break it down. Well,
right.
It depends, because you've got diminishing abrasive ones from Shoals and Menzerna and that, then you've got non-diminishing like McGuire's, then you've got non-diminishing and diminishing like the Japanese and Ants, mm-hmm. which is both one hit.
Wow. Interesting.
So you've got your diminishing to finish well, but you've got the non-diminishing cutter in there to basically always be allow you to correct all the time.
Cool. All right, man. I think we hit it pretty dang well. What do you think?
Yeah. Last thing I want to mention too is, I know I'll go on and on about this maybe, and a lot of people won't agree with me. I still think anyone out there who's a pro, don't get rid of your rotary polisher.
Right.
Rotary polisher. One guy's read on the Auto Geek forum recently said rotary compounding DA polishing. You are not limited to it being that.
Mm.
A rotary I use for high-end work, like the Fine, $800 machine, not cheap, but the thing's made amazing. No trigger, it's all done by dials. It's all just a push-button adjustment up and down.
Wow.
Rotary is a great thing for doing 3-4-step, even more, low-speed refining work. Nothing, in my opinion, no DA can possibly beat a rotary. It can get bloody close, and sometimes the really good guys like Todd Helm could do it.
Mm.
But DA is always going to be a rounding action, and even force rotation is not the same as rotary.
Right.
The rotary's slicing action, for some reason, seems to work the polishers down better.
Yeah.
There's no vibration. It's smooth. You run it at 900 down to 600, down to 350, 200, or even just 600. To finish out most, I always go to at least no higher than 900 to finish out, always at least 600 or lower. To me, using 60 ppi to 120 ppi foam with our jeweling polish or the ceramics or even our sealers and all that, which you can use as a polish, you can, I believe rotary does blast the paint out better and give it more color richness than a DA. The DA can get pretty close, and the guy in Melbourne I was talking about who doesn't actually clean his pads with water, he reckons he's measured it with his $10,000 gloss meter, and he reckons it's about 2 points or something, two points or something better than a DA can do. So don't just use it for compounding, use it for finishing out, and then go to your DA to finish to guarantee no issues.
Mm. Cool. All right. So if people want to find out more about you or, find out where you're, maybe call you and find out where you're getting some of these super secret compounds from, how can they do that?
I can probably do that. you can email me at detailologycarcare@gmail.com. You can call me on Skype, of course. Mr. Polish73 is my Skype handle. Landline is 6108-8280-9317, and of course I'm on Facebook, Google+, as well.
Awesome. Thanks again for sharing all that information. That was rad.
I'm happy to be corrected on anything if I am incorrect about some of this. I don't think so, but I could be wrong, and someone could know more than me. I'm sure.
Today's sponsor of the show is Bluehost. Bluehost offers domains and hosting. If you're looking at buying a domain name or hosting your current domain name, head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com/website. I've worked out a deal with Bluehost for special discounts and offers for Auto Detailing Podcast listeners, and it also helps me out too. Gives me a little bit of kickback for each one of you that sign up through that website, autodetailingpodcast.com/website, where you can get a free domain name with a hosting plan. So head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com/website and pick up that free domain with any hosting package. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. Head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com for full show notes and links of everything that we've talked about today. And don't forget to check out our resources page for a direct link to all the products talked about not only on today's episode, but that I use in my day-to-day detail business. They have direct links so you can purchase and get free shipping right from that page. That's autodetailingpodcast.com. We'll see you on the next episode.